Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Well, I have with me today a golf club. And if you have ever seen my golf swing, you know that I can't do very much with one of these. But if you take a set of golf clubs and put them in the hands of Tiger Woods, you get 15 major championships. In my hands, nothing special. In his hands, something quite amazing. Or take a paintbrush like this, for example. I think the best I can do with a paintbrush is maybe touch up the trim on my house. I certainly can't paint anything that you would recognize. But give this paintbrush to someone like Rembrandt, and he will create masterpieces with it. There are many things that are ordinary in our lives, but if you give them to people who have amazing skills, they can do extraordinary things. Well, what would happen if we take the ordinary things of our lives and put them in the hands of the master of the universe? What would he be able to do with what we have to give to him? I invite you to turn this morning with me to a story from the Gospel of John. We're going to be looking together at chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. It's a story that's probably familiar to you, a story where a boy is willing to share his lunch with Jesus, a lunch of just 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. And as a result, thousands are fed. Again, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. If you're following along with me and want to use the Bible in your pews, it's in page 886. Now, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left over by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now I wonder what that day was like for the little boy. I can perhaps imagine him in the morning having a free day in front of him, deciding that he wanted to go fishing. And so he grabs his fishing rod and he's heading out the door for his favorite fishing hole when his mom says, "Hold up there, young man. Did you take anything with you to eat? You know how hungry you get. Oh, Mom, come on, get right back in here." And she makes him wait while she packs him a little lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Well, finally, he's able to leave, and he takes off, and he's heading to go fishing. But then he notices there's a huge crowd of people. And so intrigued, he asked and says, "What's going on? What are all these people doing?" And someone says to him, "Do you see the guy all the way up there in front? That's Jesus of Nazareth. Not only is he an amazing teacher, but he is able to heal people of the worst kinds of diseases.
Well, that really catches his attention. He decides to go along with a crowd to see what's going to happen.
Well, soon people stop, and there's kind of a general milling around, and the boy doesn't know really what's going on, but he notices that the people who were closest to the master are starting to spread out among the crowd, and they're wandering around like they're looking for something. And all of a sudden, he feels a little tap on his shoulder, and he turns around and looks, and it's one of those followers. He later finds out his name is Andrew. And the man says to the boy, he says, what do you have there in your basket? And the boy says, my lunch. And Andrew says, would you be willing to share that with the master? And the boy just kind of nods. And Andrew takes him by the hand and through the crowd and up to the front where Jesus is. And he gets Jesus' attention. He says, Jesus, I have here a little boy. And he has his lunch with him. And he is willing to share that with you. And it has 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus looks the little boy in the eyes. Perhaps he gets down on his knees so he's more eye level with him. And he says, is that right? Are you willing to share your lunch with me? And again, the boy just kind of nods. And Jesus says, thank you. And he takes the food and he blesses it. And he begins to distribute it. And amazingly, right there before the little boy's eyes, somehow, all the people, thousands and thousands of people, are fed from his little lunch. And he can't wait to get home to tell his mom about his day, to tell his mom what had happened. Well, what did happen? What happened was the Son of God received a simple gift that he had been given willingly and freely, and he blessed that gift and used it to meet a huge need. And in meeting that need and in using that gift, the name of God was blessed. The Father was glorified. And this story in the Bible, and there are many stories that are similar to it, help us to understand a very important truth about what it means to be a child of God. What God asks of us is that we take the ordinary, everyday, simple things of life, the things that we have, that belong to us, that we have some responsibility for, some control over, and ask if we are willing to share them with Him, so that in sharing them with Him, He may bless them and use them for the purpose of His kingdom. To use the gifts that we give to fulfill His will and His desire in this world in ways that we can't even imagine, in ways that we don't understand, certainly in ways that we don't know when we gave the gift. But all that God asks of us, is if we're willing to give so that He may bless. And certainly the people on the hillside that day were blessed. They were given enough food to eat, and Scripture says that even after they ate all that they could, there was still lots left over. But they were not the only ones who were blessed, the people. The disciples were blessed also in a different way. Yes, they got to eat also, but they observed something very important, something that they were really going to need later on in ministry, because there would come a day that Jesus would leave, that Jesus would ascend back into heaven. But on that day, that did not mean the disciples were now free to go back home and do what they'd always done and kind of keep living the life that they had lived before they had met Jesus. No, Jesus says, I need you to continue doing the ministry that I have been doing. Well, see, there's a problem with that. These disciples aren't Jesus. They're just ordinary people. We know a lot about who they were, at least some of them, and they were just kind of fishermen and tax collectors and just kind of everyday people in society. They had no special talents or gifts. They certainly had no special education. They had spent time with Jesus, and that was very valuable, but mostly Jesus had done everything, and they just kind of watched Him do it. But now it was going to be up to them. But this kind of a experience for the disciples and experiences like it that we read about in God's Word help them to understand that God was not expecting them to be Jesus. What God was asking of them to do this ministry that they were called to do after Jesus had left them was simply to offer who they were and what they had to God so that God could take it and God could bless it. And in blessing it, it would become something amazing. To take the ordinary things that they had and God could use them and do something extraordinary. For example, we know that the disciples went out, we start reading about this in the book of Acts, and they began to preach the good news about Jesus. Now, there was an incredible response to that. In Acts chapter 2, we're told in one day alone, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ and became part of the church. Now, is that because the disciples all of a sudden became extraordinary preachers and sharers of the gospel? No. It's because they offered what they had, which was the story of Jesus Christ, and God used it, and God blessed it in the hearts of all these people who, through the Holy Spirit, came to faith on that day. Not because the disciples all of a sudden were able to do something, but they offered what they had to God, and He used it in amazing ways. Some of the other things we read about those early disciples is that they often prayed for people who were ill or who had particular needs. And God would answer those prayers. God blessed those prayers and people were healed. People were even raised from the dead. Because their prayers were amazing, because they were incredibly holy people, because God had special favor on them? No. Because they trusted God and said, God, we will give you what we have. In this case, prayer. We have no medical knowledge. We don't have any expertise. We can't do these things, but we pray. And if it be your will, you will bless it and you will use it in ways that we certainly would not be able to bring about. These disciples were asked by Jesus Christ to be the beginnings of His church. He said, upon you, I will build my church. And they were faithful. They were faithful to be and to do what Christ had taught them. And in their everyday, ordinary way, they began to share the word. They began to encourage the community that became the church. They taught them about Jesus and about what He had taught. And together, they began to do the things that God was leading them to do. And the church grew. Not because they were extraordinary, but because God took and blessed what they had given. And so here we are today, 2,000 years later, and we still have the church, the Christian church, where we, together with millions of other people around the world, are worshiping the very same God that they worshiped in their day. Because God took what they had and blessed it. And God will do the same thing. When we give of what we have and what we give of who we are to God, and we do so freely, we do so without any kind of feeling of compulsion or demand on God's part, and God doesn't demand of us. He simply asks, are you willing to share what you have? Now, thinking again about little boy, I wonder what was going through his mind when he was asked whether he was willing to share his lunch. Knowing little boys, we had three of them before they grew up, it seemed like they were always hungry. If you ever looked in our refrigerator, I think you'd be able to tell that all of a sudden things were gone. Boys are hungry. And I can't imagine the little boy didn't have a little bit of a twinge of worry when he was asked to give his lunch. Well, if I give away my lunch, what am I going to have? What'll happen to me? Or perhaps he thought, you know, okay, if I give this man, who I've never met, they say he's somebody special, but I don't know, but if I give him my lunch, well, then he'll have a nice lunch, but I won't have anything. And why should he get to eat and not me? Or if he was a real kind of little entrepreneur in the making, he might have thought, you know, there's a lot of hungry people around here, and I bet I could sell my lunch and just make a lot of money. And I could take that home and give it to my mom, and she would just be amazed about what I could do. Well, he didn't do any of those things. He, as we know from the story, he gave his lunch. But, you know, the world looks upon that, and perhaps even we sometimes look upon something like that and say, you know, that's kind of foolish. If you give things away, there may be some hungers that you have that you won't be able to fulfill. You know, we all have things that we see in the world, that we like in the world, that we want to have. And well, if we give money to God, if we give money to His church and for ministry, then, well, maybe we won't be able to have some of those things. Or we think perhaps, you know, okay, I give this money, or I give this time, or I give this thing to God that I have. And well, what if nothing much happens with it? What if it's just, okay, God gets it, but I get nothing? Does that seem right? Is that fair? Should I have to give up something just so He could have something? Or I think, you know, if I just keep a hold of it, and then I can, you know, I'm pretty smart, I'm pretty kind of savvy, and I can figure out how to invest it or how to use it, and God will be really pleased with that if I just kind of hold on to it and I figure out the best thing to do with this for God. No, God says, don't think the way the world thinks. Think the way that I have revealed myself in my word. If you're willing to freely and openly give it to me, no strings attached, I promise that I will bless it and I will use it for good. It may be in spectacular ways, like happens in our story here, or it might just be in ordinary, everyday kind of ways. You may know right away what happened, just like the boy does, and that's an amazing experience for him. And sometimes we get those kinds of opportunities in our lives to be part of something incredible, and we get to see what the things that we offer to God, how they're blessed and what they do. And other times we don't get to see it, but we trust God that He is blessing and He is using it, whether or not we see it, whether or not we understand it. And so as we are now involved in our stewardship season as a church, and we're talking about these things as a congregation, thinking about what we give today as well as what we are considering to put on our financial commitment card in order to give in the coming year. And we need to remember some of these principles that we learn from God's word. They're as true today as they were then. God comes asking. He doesn't demand. You may feel a little tap on your shoulder and kind of, well, what do you got there? Are you willing to share it with the Master? But it's really up to you then whether you are willing to do that or not. Trusting God that if you share, if you give, then He will bless. And God will use it. And He will use it in amazing ways, much more wonderful, and you will be much more blessed than if you just held on and used it for whatever you might have in mind. That's the promise of God's word for us. And that's what God's word comes to us today and seeks for us to help us to understand. In our hands, these are good things. They're fine things. There's nothing wrong with these things. But if we're willing to share them with God, He who is amazing, the master of the universe, will take those. He will bless them. And the ordinary that we have will become something ordinary in His hands. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this story today and the truth that it teaches. We thank You that there are many stories like it in Your word where people offered themselves, they offered what they had, they offered their talents, they offered their possessions, they offered money, they offered a little lunch. And You took it and You blessed it, and wonderful things came from it. And so, Father, we believe that as we as a congregation share as a congregation, as we give to the ministry of this church, that You're at work in our church blessing it. It's not just human beings who are receiving the money and the pastors or the board or other people figuring out what to do with it in their own wisdom or their own ability. But we trust and believe, Lord, that You are at work, and You're at work through all that we do because You bless it. And You use it in amazing ways. So, Father, guide us and help us to know and understand Your will for us when it comes to giving. Help us to be open in doing so, to be grateful for what we have, and even grateful for the opportunity to share it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.